On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this is Bob Keebler, and welcome to Part 2 of the Budget Control Act. In this segment, we'll deal strictly with the tax issues, looking at what might come out of Congress and what you should be doing to help your clients in the meantime. Recognize the goal of the Joint Committee is to reduce the budget spending by $1.5 trillion or to increase taxes by $1.5 trillion. There are many tax issues that will be on the table. One thing that I definitely encourage you to do is to go to Senator Coburn, C-O-B-U-R-N. He's a senator, Republican senator from Oklahoma. Go to his website and look at what the proposals the Gang of Six has put out there. I'll talk about some of these, but it's a very nice in-depth report, well-written, very succinct, and goes through these issues. Now, anything is on the table. We all recognize by now that there are many things President Obama spoke about in the last 60 days, which will undoubtedly be discussed by the committee of whether they should be dealt with, closing loopholes. In particular, carried interest by hedge fund managers will likely be the focus of some legislation. We may also see adjustments to other loopholes in the tax code. Some of the things that were in the Gang of Six proposal are worthy of noting. The home mortgage deduction on vacation properties may disappear. The home mortgage interest deduction for interest expense on mortgages in excess of $500,000 may well disappear. We may see some reformation in the area of employer-provided health insurance. The Gang of Six proposal basically said that you would not receive tax-free health insurance if the cost of the insurance exceeded $15,000. Now, none of these things are locked into stone. They're all going to be open for debate. When you work through the Gang of Six proposals, you're going to see that there could potentially be lower tax rates in the future. On the other hand, when you look at what's scheduled to happen under the law, you're going to see there's higher tax rates in the future. From an income tax perspective, unfortunately, this creates a very difficult time to do planning right now. Earlier today, I met with a client that's going to retire in 2 years. He has about $6 million worth of stock options, deferred compensation, and he's saying to me, Bob, how can we put together a plan when we don't know if rates are going up or down? In all likelihood, rates are going to go up, but what he and I discussed for over an hour was creating pivot points. Pivot points where today we look at this and we say, if rates go up, this is what we're going to do. If they go down, this is what we're going to do. And we need to focus on that. We can't stop because there simply won't be enough time towards the end of the year to react to what happens. So when you're looking at the Coburn ideas, again, he goes through a litany of ideas, some of which are very significant, some of which are rather small and for show. For example, ending NASCAR tax breaks, 7-year depreciation of motorsport entertainment complexes, although perhaps a loophole in the law, not meaningful in terms of the entire budget. What else we have to look at is, in between now and the end of the year, some things we should be talking about with clients. Right now, we still have bonus depreciation. We still have Section 179 deductions. In a strange sort of way, if these things are changed, it may encourage fourth quarter spending, which would, of course, be good for the economy. I don't expect that. I think the news of this will come out too late for business owners to react. Remember, you can invest in closely held businesses this year, C corporations, and receive 1202 treatment of 100% exclusion when you eventually sell the stock. Whether clients should be deferring income into 2012 or pulling income forward in 2011 is going to be determined based on what this committee does. In all likelihood, tax rates stay the same in 2011 and 2012. The economy is fragile. Everyone realizes that, and we probably do not want to increase rates right away. And decreasing rates could never come quick enough in a comprehensive plan where we eliminate many tax expenditures and reduce the overall rate. One thing we should be very focused on personally in our own practices and for our clients is trying to put as much as we can into defined benefit plans, qualified plans right now. Many of the proposals being floated would reduce the amount we can contribute to pension plans. That could be something that we have to analyze on a going forward basis for our clients. I would encourage you to be aggressive in what you can do there. Tax considerations for planning in 2012 and beyond. C corporation dividends. We talked about this before, but recognize today the dividend rate is only 15%. The dividend rate in 2013 could go as high as 43.6% if we lose qualified dividend treatment and the rate goes from 35 to 39.6, and we end up with the 3.8% healthcare surtax, all of a sudden the rate on dividends almost triples. So you have to call the question. Let's say you represent a car dealer. His grandfather started the business in the 1930s, and where are we? They have $3 million worth of retained earnings in earnings and profits. If they take those out today, they will only pay 15% tax. If they take those out after 2013, the rate could almost triple. So it's something that you want to be ready for. Now, if you're in that situation, you want to make sure that you call a corporate board meeting to declare that dividend in accordance with the bylaws, your articles of incorporation, state law. You want to dot every I and cross every T. Certainly, if the IRS is smart, which they're very smart, we all know that, they're going to be looking at your corporate minutes to make sure that you didn't have a board meeting that wasn't proper under state law, where they can say, no, that dividend really didn't occur in December of 2012, but more like when you had your next board meeting in 2013. Roth conversions. Roth conversions are one of these pivot points. If rates are going down, Roth conversions make no sense. If rates are going up, Roth conversions are very efficacious. For 2010 conversions, I think we want to consider recharacterizing before October 15th, 2011, waiting 30 days, and then maybe going back into a Roth IRA in 2011. What would that do for you? It would give you more time to decide whether or not the Roth IRA was a good idea. If tax rates go down, the Roth conversion will work out to be a terrible idea. If rates go up again, the Roth conversion may be very smart. Now, if you haven't converted in 2011, you may want to push that conversion out to 2012. If you convert in January of 2012 from a regular IRA to a Roth, you create an opportunity where you can change your mind through a recharacterization all the way up to October 15th, 2013. By then, the stock market certainly will have moved in one direction or another. And the other thing that we're going to have is we're going to have the volatility of asset classes, because remember, we're doing Roth conversions by asset class. And finally, we'll know where we're going tax-wise, because then we'll be, we'll be 8 months in, 9 months into the year. We're going to, the president, whether it's President Obama or another president, will be, you know, well into their first term in office. We're going to know the political climate at that moment. Now, from an estate and gift tax perspective, I have to think one of the biggest things we can do for our clients between now and the end of the year is move that $5 million gift tax exemption. No one can say how the estate tax situation is going to work itself out. No one thought we wouldn't have an estate tax in 2010. No one thought we would settle the debt crisis less than 12 hours before we technically defaulted on our debt. So it's hard to predict what's going to happen with the estate tax. But what we do know is today, under the law in place today, every client you represent has a $5 million exemption, less what they've already given away. What that means is that we can give away that property. So take a hard look at who should be giving away that property. For clients that are concerned about this, they can put property in trust for their spouse. Of course, you have to avoid the reciprocal trust doctrine. But then, certain clients should be looking at Delaware, South Dakota, Alaska, Nevada trusts, where if I create a trust in those states, I can also be a beneficiary of that trust. And if the trust is worded right, we should be able to keep those trusts out of a person's estate. They will not be brought back into an estate under 2036. So take a look at making those gifts. It's very possible that the estate tax exemption stays at $5 million, but the gift tax exemption goes back to $1 million. Now, the other three things on the estate and gift side, dynasty trusts have been talked about for some time here, almost a year, of possibly a federal rule against perpetuities that would eliminate some of the efficacy of the dynasty trusts. There's been actual legislation introduced that would take away the grats and force us to do 10-year grats. We wouldn't be able to do short-term grats anymore. And finally, there continues to be legislation that's introduced in Congress that would limit the valuation adjustments on transfers of property between family members. So today, Dad owns 100% of the business. We all know under Revenue Ruling 93-12 that he can gift that away in three separate tranches and get a discount in each tranche. However, there may well be legislation that takes away that privilege. Now is the time to thread that needle to take advantage of that. So we're going to see a lot of property transfers between now and the end of the year. On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this has been Bob Keebler on the Budget Control Bill. Thank you for joining us today. We hope this helps you help others.